Good afternoon. Mark Zuckerberg is one of the co-founders of the networking website known as Facebook. Facebook is something that many of you are familiar with, that many of you use. As of July 2014, Mr. Zuckerberg's estimated wealth was just over $33 billion. Mark Zuckerberg seldom ever wears anything other than a gray t-shirt and a pair of jeans. That's his wardrobe. On some very special occasion, you can get a suit and tie on. But every day of his life, he gets up, puts on a gray tee, a gray t-shirt, and a pair of jeans. Every day. When he was asked about that, Mr. Zuckerberg said that eliminating choosing clothing helped him to focus on his priorities. Now, here's what I think about that. I am not going to argue with success with anybody who's worth $33 billion. But what his wardrobe teaches us is this. With most very, very successful people, there is a common thread that runs through almost every one of them, and that common thread is this. All of them will focus like a laser on what their priorities are. They take care of their business and they do not waste time prying into the concerns of other people. Let me say that again. The common thread that runs through them is that they focus totally on what their priorities are. That's their focus. They spend their day taking care of their own business. And they do not waste their time prying into the concerns of other people, i.e., they mind their own business. They mind their own business. Now, brethren, here's what we have. You and I, as God's people, have been given a work. And that work must become our priority. And where our focus needs to lie is it needs to lie on the priority of the work that God has given to us. That's where our focus needs to be, that's where our effort needs to be, and that's where our energy needs to be on what it is that God wants you and I to do. Now, I want you to take your Bible and I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 4. We're there? Ephesians 1 and verse 4. Paul says, "For he chose us." For he chose us. Now let's go back up and see if we can find out who us is. Those who have been chosen. Who is he talking about? Go up to verse 3. "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us." Those who were chosen in verse 4 are those who are in Christ in verse 3. It's those who are in Christ who have been chosen by God. Now, how does one get into Christ? Well, that's a question that we can easily answer. Paul said in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 26 and 27, Paul said, "For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Verse 27, "For as many of us as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So those who bear the in Christ relationship are those who have responded to God, who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. In our response to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we were placed in Christ. Now, verse 4 here, Ephesians 1, says that we were chosen. Those who are in Christ were chosen. Now, what were we chosen for? Well, according to verse 4, we were chosen to be holy and blameless. But that's not the only reason that God chose those of us who responded to the gospel. That's not the only reason he chose us. Look at chapter 2 and verse 10. Chapter 2 and verse 10 of Ephesians. "For we, the chosen ones, those who are in Christ, via of the fact that we obeyed the gospel, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ to do good works." God has created us in Christ to do good works. You know what that sounds a lot like? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, Paul says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. God created everybody who responded to the gospel, who were immersed into Christ. God has created everybody in Christ, and what he has created us for are good works. That's why you've been created in Christ Jesus. That's why God has chosen you. When you obeyed the gospel, you became one of God's chosen. And as one of God's chosen, you've been chosen for a reason. And one of the reasons you've been chosen, and one of the reasons you were created in Christ, was to do good works. But what works are we talking about? Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And let's find out what good works we have been created in Christ Jesus to do. Because that's why we are new creatures in Christ for a purpose. And part of that purpose is to do good works. Now, what works? Romans 12, beginning with verse 6. We, Christians, we who are in Christ, we, the chosen, created in Christ, we have different gifts. According to the grace given to us, if a man's gift is prophesying, Let him do it in proportion with his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him contribute generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Now, this is not an exhausted list of all of the gifts, but it's demonstration of some of the gifts that God has given. Now, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that God has given to each of us who are His. God has given to each of us a gift, a talent, an ability, and that God expects us to use that talent and to use that ability. And what I'm telling you is that the reason we have been created as new creatures in Christ is to perform those good works, part of which are the talents, the gifts, and the ability that God has given us, and He expects us, yea, commands us, to use those in service of the kingdom of God. You with me? Now, some people are inept at their own gift and their own ability. Some Christians are just inept about focusing on the priority of their own gift. But they are experts at what everybody else ought to be doing with their gift. Listen, it's like the President of the United States. There are some people who think they know what the President ought to be doing every waking moment. Now, they've never been president. There are some people who believe they know what the preacher ought to be doing every waking moment, but they never ever walked a step in his shoes. They never have. What am I saying? I'm saying that what we need to do is that we need to focus on our own priority. We need to focus on our own gift. We need to focus on our own ability. We need to look at what it is that God has given to us as individuals, and that's where we need to put our focus. That's where we need to put our energy and our efforts. We need to focus on ourselves and stop meddling in what everybody else is doing or isn't doing according to what we think they ought to be doing or not doing. Example. In John 21, Jesus has been crucified, He's been buried, and He's been raised from the dead. After His resurrection, Jesus finds Peter and six of His buddies fishing. Now, it's as if, all right, Jesus died, so I guess this little deal is over. So we're going back fishing. So Peter and six of his buddies are fishing. Jesus appears to them, but at first they don't know who He is. And they fish, but they haven't caught anything. So Jesus says, look, here's what you do. They did it, and they catch 153 fish. That's pretty good fishing. So they have breakfast together. Jesus and Peter and this. They have breakfast together. Now watch this. After they have breakfast, Jesus and Peter take a little stroll together, and Jesus is talking to Peter. Now remember, Peter was the one who three times denied Him on the night they arrested Jesus in a garden. And now here's Jesus again. And Jesus says, Peter, I want to ask you. Do you love me? Peter said, Lord, I love you. And Jesus said, then feed my lambs. So they walk a little further. Jesus says, Peter, I'll ask you something else. Peter, do you love me? Peter said, Lord, you know I do love you. And Jesus says, Peter, feed my sheep. Now you listening? I'm going to throw something right here, and this isn't where we're going, but you remember this? Feed my lamb. The second time he said that, feed my sheep. Feed my lamb, feed my sheep. What is that? Jesus is telling Peter, what you need to be doing, you need to be teaching the young as well as the mature. The young as well as mature. Listen, I don't care if you've been a Christian for a week or if you've been a Christian for 60 years, there is always growth and there is always maturity to be had. If you are a lamb in the body or an old sheep in the body, you still grow and learn. But we just passing by that. So Jesus says, well, Peter, I want to ask you another question. And Peter's squirming now. He says, Peter, do you love me? And the Bible says that Peter was grieved. He was hurt because the Lord had asked him three times, do you love me? And he says, Lord, you know that I love you. Now, are you listening? As they continue this conversation, Jesus is talking to Peter about Peter and about what Peter needs to do, and Peter catches out of corner of his eyes John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, the John who laid his head on the chest of Jesus. And Peter catches John out of sight of his eyes, and Peter looks at Jesus. He said, Lord, what about him? That's what he said. He said, what about him? And in John 21, verses 21 through 23, you know what Jesus said? Jesus said to Peter, listen, what is he to you? If I keep him alive and whatever he does, or if he doesn't stay alive, if he dies, whatever he does, what he does doesn't matter. I'm not talking to you about him. I'm talking to you about you. Peter needed to focus on Peter. We need to focus on us. Too many of us are too focused on what John is doing when we ought to be focused on what Fox is doing. Listen, the work that God has given to you is too important for you to take that work and to cast it aside so you can meddle in what the rest of us are doing. Look at your own priorities. Look at your own gift. God has given to you a gift. You were created in Christ to perform the good work of that gift. Let that gift be your priority. Let that gift be your focus. Let that gift be your niche. And take that gift and like a laser, put on that gray t-shirt and jeans and do the gift. I went back to the Zuckerberg thing. You get it? He's smart enough to get it. But that's all right. Now, let me share with you three resolutions here. And I'm just going to mention these. We're done. I want to share with you three resolutions. Three resolutions. When you find yourself losing focus, now hear me, when you find yourself losing focus on your priority and looking at somebody else's, pull these three resolutions out. When you find yourself thinking, well, you know, I got my deal here, but now I'm worried about everybody else's deal, listen, stop worrying about everybody else's deal. Three resolutions when you find yourself losing focus on your gift and the work of your priority in that gift. You understand? Three resolutions. Number one, resolve to refocus. Resolve to refocus. You get a hold of yourself and you refocus yourself on where that'd be. Refocus on your own faith. on your own faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, Paul said, let a man examine himself whether he be in the faith. Listen, refocus on your own faith. Where is my faith at in my relationship with God? Refocus on your own work. Don't worry about her gift. That her gift between her and God. His gifts between him and God. Your gifts between you and God. Get that right. Get that right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, Paul told the church at Corinth, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Ask yourself, refocus yourself. Am I steadfast? Am I unmovable in my work that God has given me to do? Refocus yourself. Refocus on your own faith. Refocus on your own work. Refocus on your own words. James said in James 1 and verse 26, if anybody among you seems to be religious and cannot control his tongue, this man's religion is in vain. If you can't control what you say, your religion is worthless. Resolve. Make the resolution. Resolve to refocus. Listen, I have to do that a lot. Now, maybe that's because I got a problem. I'm being honest. I'll refocus. All right, look. Right here's where I need to be. Right here's where I need to be doing. Talk to yourself. You talk to yourself about everything else. You talk to yourself about all this foolishness that's going on. You sit around worrying. A lot of you sit around worrying all the time about something that ain't never happened and then something ain't never going to ever happen, and you wear yourself to a frazzle. Listen, refocus. You welcome. Resolve to refocus. Number two, resolve to remember. Resolve to remember. And here's what you need to resolve to remember. What you need to remember is that the same way you judge others, you're going to be judged. Now, look at, turn. That's like the old bird song. Turn. Matthew 7. And verse 1. If it ain't oldies, it ain't music. I don't want to hear it. Matthew 7 and verse 1. Jesus says, do not judge or you will be judged. Now, how will I be judged if I judge? In the same way you judge others, you will be judged with the measure you use. It will be measured to you again. What is he saying? What he's saying is, listen, you need to remember the way the stick you put up on everybody else, that the Lord's going to wear you out with that same stick someday. Drop down verse 12. Look at verse 12. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. Now we call that the golden rule. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Listen to me. What goes around comes around. What goes around comes around. You need to remember. Listen. Resolve to remember. You need to remember that what you give is what you're going to get back. If you throw out encouragement, you're going to get back encouragement. If you throw out love, you're going to get back love. If you throw out something else, you're going to get back something else. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Take that rule and turn it around the other way. What you don't want others to do to you, don't you do to others. Resolve to refocus. I'm going to refocus on myself. I'm going to refocus on what the ability God has given me. I'm going to refocus. That ability is going to be my priority, and I'm going to take that ability and that priority, and I'm going to use it. I'm going to work at it. I'm going to learn from it, and I'm going to be the best me I can be. And the best me I can be isn't going to be good as everybody else, or hardly anybody else, or maybe nobody else, but if I'm the best me I can be, that's going to be good enough for God. Resolve to refocus. Second, resolve to remember. Look, remember, the way you treat others is going to come back and get you. And number three, resolve to be aware. And here's what you need to be aware of. You need to be aware that knocking others down doesn't make you tall. And you need to resolve to be aware of that. Look, the way for me to be taller isn't to chop everybody's knees out from under them. Jesus said, if you're going to be great, be a servant. If you're going to be great, be a servant. Look, we have been created in Christ Jesus for a purpose. That purpose, among other things, is to be holy and blameless. And that purpose, among other things, is to do good works. And God says, I'm going to give you an ability, I'm going to give you a talent so that you can take your work and you can use your work. And if you make a living off your work and end up with $33 billion, God bless you, and remember your friends and your preacher. God bless you. God bless you. But use the ability that God gave you in His kingdom. And if you use the ability God gave you in His kingdom, and if you use the ability that God gave you to make a living, glory to God. There's nothing wrong with that. Glory to God. Take that gift, whatever it is. And whatever it is important, and the reason it is important is because God gave it to you. Take it, shape it, refine it, focus on it, make it your priority, and do the very best you can do. Because when we face God in the last day, the one we're responsible for is ourselves. And if Sister Joe over there hasn't used her gift, that's between her and God. But her not using her gift's not going to keep me from using mine. And if she criticizes me for using mine, that's not going to stop me from using mine either. I'm going to pray for her, I'm going to love her, and then I'm going to keep going. And I'm going to shoot spitballs at her when she isn't looking. Well, I won't do that part of it. You understand what I'm saying? That's the one thread. That's the one thread these people have. They focus on their priorities. Now, we don't agree with a lot of their priorities, but that's their deal. They focus on their priorities. They take care of what they got to take care of. And then all this other stuff that's going on is of no concern to them because they're busy doing this. Nobody out there is doing anything more important than we do in the kingdom of God when we do what God has called us to do. So when people act crazy, you know what? Just you're going to act crazy without me because I ain't going out there with you. Just go out there and act crazy. And when you get through, we still going to be here. And you can come in here when you behave yourself. Amen? Amen? You've been gifted. And when you obey the gospel, God said, those are the ones I've chosen. Those who respond, those are mine. Those are the ones I'm going to equip. Those are the ones who've been created for good works. and those are the ones that I'm going to use to be the light in the world for Jesus Christ. All the darkness and all of the world can be penetrated by the light of one little candle. Little boy went to bed one night, and his mother, from his bedroom, saw a flashlight, a light, on off, on off, on off, on off, on off. His mother got up, went into the bedroom, said, "What are you doing?" Boy was turning a flashlight on and off, on and off. She says, "What are you doing?" He said, "Ma, I'm shooting holes in the dark." And that's what you and I are supposed to do. We're supposed to shoot holes in the dark. We are that light. Take the ability God's given you, focus on it, and use it. If you're here tonight and if you're not a Christian, you need to become a New Testament Christian. If you're here tonight as a Christian but you've allowed yourself to get away from God, you need to come back. If you're here, if you need to respond, we're going to sing the first and last stanza. You can come right now as together we stand and as we sing.